Well, if you are a guest with us tonight, you might not know that last January, this church celebrated her 50th anniversary as a congregation, a time of much rejoicing and reflecting on how good God has been to us and the graces that He has poured out and continues to pour out on us. And one of the things that we want to do this calendar year is take a few moments during the year to reflect on some specific areas that have been very important in the life of this church. What we would like to do tonight is reflect back as best we can on 50 years of ministry to children in the Richland Hills Church. If you were a part in any way of Summer Spectacular last week, you know that this church cares about children. I don't know of a church anywhere that has anything quite like Summer Spectacular. But that's just a small part of what happens every week in this place in ministry to children. My wife and Jenny New, some years ago, taught second grade together. And Jenny showed me the other day a picture she has kept on her desk for over 7 years. She asked the students that day to draw a picture of my wife. And I wanted you to see how one of our second graders saw my wife, if you can put that up there. Yes, we do have a steroid problem in my house. It's one reason why I mind so well. When Dwight L. Moody, who in my judgment was the greatest evangelist in America in the 19th century, came home late one night from a preaching at a revival, his wife Emma already in bed, he tried to slip into bed without disturbing her. But she rolled over and said sweetly, "Honey, how did it go tonight?" He said, "I thought it went pretty well." He said, "There were 2.5 conversions." And she said, "Really? And how old was the child?" He said, "No. There were 2 children saved and 1 adult." He said, "A child has their whole life to give to the Lord. But when you convert an adult, their life is already half gone." 2.5 conversions. Before we honor people tonight who are most worthy of honor, I want to take a minute and just talk a little bit about a theology of children. And I want to briefly look at just 3 passages in Scripture in the life of Jesus. And there's not the only passages in Scripture that talk about children, but if you can establish what Jesus thought, then you know what the rest of the Bible says. But let's start with Matthew 21. This is just after Jesus has had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And in verse 14, we read these words. "The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant. 'Do you hear what these children are saying?' they asked him." "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise'?" God is honored by the praise of children. He has ordained it. I think we are mistaken sometimes when we talk about children's worship, as if, well, you know, that's where kids practice learning how to act in church. That's where they train in worship, so that someday they will be able to present acceptable worship. Scripture says children's worship is exactly that. It is a sweet offering to the Lord that He receives with much delight. Have you never read, "The Lord has ordained praise from the lips of children and even infants"? Next passage. It's in Mark chapter 10. You know, you learn a lot about people by what makes them mad. You learn what they're passionate about and what they care about. It says the teachers of the law were angry when children praised Jesus. What makes Jesus angry? Chapter 10, let's read verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. What angers us reveals who we are. Jesus did not consider time with children as time wasted. Apparently the disciples did. Apparently they thought, he is very busy. He has a lot of important things to do. We're just practicing good stewardship because a capable minister can do better things with his time than hang out with kids. And Jesus, realizing how much this revealed about their lack of understanding of the kingdom of God, said, "Don't you ever again hinder a child from time with me." You can learn about the kingdom of God from a child. In fact, if you don't receive the kingdom of God like a child would, you're the one who's not worthy of my presence. You ever noticed how many miracles Jesus did for children? One more text. Turn over to Mark 9, the chapter before, verse 36 and 7. He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Now what does he mean, whoever welcomes the child? Well, I think what he means in the context of that chapter is, whoever welcomes the one who will always need more than they can give. See, this is the heart of the ethic of the kingdom of God. That we die to ourselves, we die to self-absorption, and we intentionally look to serve the person for whom receiving service is not likely. Who is the little child in our culture? The handicapped would be the little children. The poor would be the little children. The elderly and the sick would be the little children. Those with mental handicaps would be the little children. There should always be in the church a healthy population of people who will always need more than they can give back. And do you know who else should be in that population? Children. Children need more than they return. It's interesting, I'll never forget this. You know, you turn in your attendance cards every Sunday and you often write comments on those cards. And I would say about 99% of those comments are quite encouraging. One time, a card was sent to me with this comment. would you please do something about the intolerable and disgusting sound of small children in this auditorium? Now, ironically, I had preached the Sunday before on Mark 9. To me, it was the classic illustration of hearing and never understanding. And I suspect that person was probably a visitor. And I suspect at the church where they attend, they don't have to worry about the sound of children. They have to worry about the sound of death. I hope we'll always have that problem here. In fact, I've gotten to the point now, if I don't hear crying and see movement and walk people up and down the aisles, I don't know how to preach. Let me just close with three really quick observations. Number one, pretty obvious, children matter to God. Nobody affirmed children more than Jesus did. In fact, think about this. Holy God was once a child. Holy God once had to go to the nursery, had to have his mama burp him and clean up after him, had to learn how to walk, had to learn how to read, had to hear the story about David and Goliath and Joshua and Jericho. Holy God was once a child. Children matter to God. Point two, the church belongs to children too. I want to confront a statement I occasionally hear. I think it's meant well, but I just disagree completely with the statement. And the statement is, oh, we need to love our kids because they're the church of tomorrow. Where's the Bible ever say that? I think we get that from what I call asterisk theology. Something Churches of Christ used to do a long time ago, they'd print a bulletin, and if you weren't baptized yet, they'd put an asterisk by your name. And as long as you had an asterisk by your name, you couldn't take the Lord's Supper yet. Which is a whole other issue I need to get into someday, because I don't think that's right either. But in the Old Testament, the children sat at the table of Passover. They ate the meal. They heard the story. They were a part of the community of faith. And I cannot fathom that the New Testament church thought any different. There is nothing in the Bible about children being the church of tomorrow. They're the church of right now. They need us, but we need them. We need their ministry. We need their examples. We need to learn what it's like to enter the kingdom by studying the kids. And one more thing. I believe children are to be received by the whole community. There's no doubt the Bible teaches the great responsibility of mothers and fathers to raise their children in the instruction and admonition of the Lord, to be models of faith. But when you really look at Scripture, when you read the Psalms, when you read the Old Testament legislation, it's pretty clear. The Bible expected the whole community of faith to care about the kids. It was the job of the whole community to pass on the stories, to be the examples, to be the models, and to raise up the kids. You know, there was a popular book a few years ago called It Takes a Village. The idea that it takes more than two people to raise kids well. It takes a whole village. I don't know if it takes a village. I do know it takes a church. It takes all of us. And we all need to ask ourselves, how am I helping the children get closer to God? And I think there's a role for all of us in this church. One of the things that's been neat about this church is that this isn't something we just decided recently is important. This church has a 50-year track record of caring about kids. And right now I'm going to invite two people to join me up here for a moment. Jenny New, wherever you are, and Patty Weaver. Would you come up here, please? Patty, of course, currently serves as our children's minister with a great team of people that work with her. Jenny was once children's minister here and also grew up in the children's ministry of this church. Now, I have a couple of questions for both of you. And Jenny, I want to start with you. I'd like you to talk just a little bit about some of your memories growing up in the children's ministry of this church and some of the influences that blessed your life.
It's so funny. It's so funny to think about having been here since I was 6 years old. I remember my first Sunday in Bible class, and who was my teacher was the preacher's wife. And she was an incredible lady, hilarious, and just a joy to hear, and that was Joan Henniger. So when I think about teachers that stand out, I think of two people. I think about LaVon Kirkpatrick. She was the Steven Spielberg of children's ministry at Richland Hills when I was a kid. She could do anything on a flannel graph, anything in a sandbox. Incredible. We would go in after class and ask her to show us one more time how that worked. She was an incredible teacher. I think about a substitute teacher I had one Sunday, and it was Pat Riddle. And Pat Riddle came into my second grade classroom, and she said, I know what I was supposed to talk about today without Mrs. Christopher being here, but I want to tell you something else. And we were like, what is it? And she said, I want to tell you about a verse that will change your life. Well, at that point, she had our attention. What could possibly change your life? And she turned to Philippians 4:8, which talks about whatever's good, whatever's pure, whatever's right, think on these things. And she said, if you'll always be thinking like that, it will change your life. Well, as a second grader, I snapped on to that. I was like, wow, if it would change Pat Riddle's life, just think what it could do for me. I've never owned a Bible since that I don't put Pat Riddle's name beside that verse, because she was the one that made me desire to be that way. It's been an amazing thing here. One Wednesday night, Kevin McCall and I were talking in Bible class. We had Joe Dodd as our Bible class teacher. And we were visiting, I guess, a little more than Joe thought was necessary. And so Brother Dodd said, Miss Phelps and Mr. McCall, if I didn't think what I was teaching was important, I wouldn't be here. He looked at the book, the Bible, and he said, I believe with all of my heart that everything in here is true, so you need to listen. Well, because we knew he might get in touch with Brother Phelps or Brother McCall, we listened.
Yeah.
I'm a better person because of those people.
Yeah. Amen. And this room is filled with names like that. This church has been filled with names like that. I've said many times, I would never have come to this church if I didn't think it would bless my kids. There's no job in the world that's so important it's worth putting your kids in a bad place. Talk to us a little bit, Patty, about some of your memories of children's ministry and what gave you a passion to want to make that your calling.
Well, I grew up at the Burleson Church of Christ, and when I was a child, Tommy Shaver was the preacher there. And when I was in the fifth grade, he taught our Bible class, our Sunday morning Bible class. And I don't know if it was because he loved fifth graders or if we were just such a rotten group of kids that it took the preacher, you know, to teach us. But however he got there, it was such a blessing to me. And I remember going home and telling my mom, I think I'm going to be a preacher when I grow up. And, you know, of course, my mom then began to explain to me that I wasn't going to be a preacher when I grew up. But I just kind of kept that in my heart. And, you know, it's a rare person who can get a fifth grade girl to believe that she can be something that everybody else says is impossible. And he passed away earlier this year, and I remember thinking, my first thought when I heard that he had passed away was, I wonder how many thousands of people's lives that he touched. And so, you know, I think that was the beginning for me, that, you know, I want to make a difference like he did.
Amen. Jenny, you launched a really important ministry here some years ago called Power Kids. And I want you to reflect on that and your years as children's minister and talk a little bit about what's it like to try to minister to kids in this church and the kind of support that you need and that you found.
Anytime you're dealing with kids, you never know how they're going to respond, what they're thinking while you're teaching. Like to think that that kid was thinking that's what Jamie actually looked like while she was teaching. You just never know. You don't have control over that. But I think when I think about the willingness of people to serve and to bless kids week after week, it's an amazing blessing we have at Richland Hills of people willing to do that. I think for me, the vision that I will always remember is a mountain of a man like Don Mansfield who decides, I'm going to love kids with special needs and I'm going to be there every Sunday and I'm going to love Kara and I'm going to love Landry and Logan. You don't forget that. You watch that kind of love, and it is an incredible thing. I think about Mike Biggers, who just was miserable until we got that program started to bless kids. And I think about a giant of a man like Tom von Heimberg teaching first-grade boys, Mike Faulkner teaching first-grade boys, and the blessing it is to watch men coaching and teaching these kids. What an amazing legacy. What an amazing thing to see. I think about gifted people that can just make a room sing. It's amazing what they do. I think about Gary and Susan Willis bringing an entire zoo to this church week after week so kids can marvel at the nature of God. It's an amazing thing to get to watch, and it just humbles you to see how God gifted people in order to bless kids.
I love the way you use that word gifted. You know, some Sundays I'll walk down the halls and I'll see Darlene Hendricks in the nursery, or I'll see Sandy Faulkner with the fifth graders, or I'll see Pat Kirk there in the first grade room, and I'll just think, you are doing what God made you to do. And even if you don't get the kind of recognition I get for doing what I do, the Father in heaven just has to beam to see what they're doing and the treasure that they're going to be accumulating in heaven because of the seed that they've been planted. You, besides being our children minister and having to recruit hundreds of people just to do the week-to-week thing, also have to recruit hundreds for the Christmas play or for summer spectacular. So talk for a moment about your experience here and the support that you've needed.
Well, I think that it's amazing that many of the names that Jenny mentioned who were teaching when she was a child or who were teaching when she was children's minister are still teaching today. I think that says a whole lot about your passion and your desire to reach children and to teach children. And, you know, I would just say that, I tell people all the time, I have two grandkids and they live in Midland, Texas. And their daddy is a preacher, and I am never going to get to go to church with them. And so I count on other people to teach them, because I'm never going to get to do that in a church setting. And, you know, there are hundreds of children here who are somebody else's children and grandchildren, and they are counting on each of you to fill that role because they're somewhere else, and they're not able to do that. And so, you know, I would just say that when somebody calls you and says, would you, could you, you know, just really pray about it before you give your answer. Because it may not be Kelly Warnock calling or Lisa Rowland calling or Darlene Hendricks calling. That may actually be the voice of the Lord. And so really consider that. And I think that that happens very frequently here, that people say, their response is not, no, I can't, or sure, I will, but their response is, let me pray about that. I think that's the greatest thing that anyone can do, is to pray about it before they make a choice.
Yeah, thanks. I told them a lot of y'all, my parents weren't strong Christians for years, and for 1 year they even separated. One of my earliest memories was going to a Bible class somewhere, probably with somebody else in the family. And they put me in there, and I wasn't used to Bible class. And they were holding flashcards with names of the books of the Bible. And they held up a card, and it said P-S-A-L-M-S. I'd never seen a word like that in my life. And I had no clue how to say that word. And I felt so stupid. And I don't even know her name. I just remember that teacher recognizing I was new and making sure that that was okay. And then I remember my grandmother taking me to a VBS when my mom and dad were separated. And, you know, when your mom and dad are separated, you don't go to church. And we went to this, my grandma took me to VBS. I don't remember anything except we learned where he leads me, I will follow. And I like that tune. And here I am, a little first grade boy, all the rest of the summer singing, where he leads me, I will follow. You just don't know the kind of things you're planting in the hearts of kids because you care. Someday I'll get to thank those people, whoever they were, because they blessed a child. Thank you both for that. I want to do something else now, so if you'll take your place. What I want to do now is just take a moment to give honor to whom honor is due. We've got a reception that we've planned that we'll be going to in just a few moments for our teachers in children's ministry, past and present, which includes a great part of this crowd. And but we do want to be able to identify you because we want to be able to say thank you while we're enjoying the cake and the fellowship. So I want you to do something for me now. If you currently are involved in children's ministry, teacher, assistant teacher, you work in the resource room, if in any way you help in children's ministry, I'd like you to stand up right now. Please do that. Okay, remain standing. And if you have ever been involved in children's ministry in some capacity, would you go ahead and stand at this time? Okay, I want you to take a look at the army of people it takes to do ministry to children in this church. I believe we have some stickers that we want to hand out real quick to you. And we want you to put the little sticker on your shirt so that when we go to get cake in a moment, you get to go to the first of the line. And so that we can thank you for what you've done. Let's go ahead and pass those out. And then I've got one more thing I want to do. But first I want to make sure that everybody gets their sticker. Huh? Yeah, the fourth and fifth graders are passing out the stickers. In fact, Ryan, let's sing the song, Make Me a Servant, while they're doing that.
Make me a servant, Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant, make me one too. Make me a servant, do what you must do. To make me a servant, make me
your sticker, you can go ahead and have a seat. But we want you to put that on so that we'll be sure to know who to honor when we go in a moment to our reception. So if you've ever worked in children's ministry, we want you to get one of the yellow stickers that our fourth and fifth graders are passing out. We still have a few back there. And everyone put on your sticker. Okay, for the next few moments now, something we want to do that is very special. Ryan and the praise team are going to lead us in a few songs. But you'll notice on this table up here, we have some beautiful crosses. And I'm going to ask some of the elders to come up here who've been asked for this assignment to stand up by this table, along with Patty. We want to take a moment to particularly honor anyone here who has served an aggregate total of 10 years in children's ministry. It doesn't have to be consecutively. But if for 10 years, one time or another, you have served children in this church, we want you to come up here while we sing And the elders just want to hug you, and we want to make sure that you get one of these beautiful crosses to take home. That's just a small way of saying thank you for what you've done. So, Ryan, let's sing. And if you've served for 10 years, please don't... Oh, and by the way, if you've served 9 and a half, round up, okay? We're not trying to be that specific. But if you have for 10 years blessed kids in this church, come up here and get a much-deserved hug and a small gift. Gaynell Phillips is one of the people that needs to come up here. Sandy Faulkner does. I know there are many here, like Aretha and many others. So while we sing, please come up here and receive the honor that you're due.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life for you? When it's all been said and done, all my treasures will mean nothing. Only what I've done for love's reward will stand the test of time. Lord, your mercy is so great that you look beyond the weakness.
Before I dismiss you with prayer, I want you to take a moment and just watch the screen above. You're going to hear just a few testimonies of people that will talk about what children's ministry has meant to them.
Think of a lot. There were a lot.
The very first teacher that I ever recall was Meredith McCann.
Jamie Atchley.
Miss Faulkner.
I think of Nancy Parchman.
The Copes.
Paul Mason.
Mark North, Bible guy.
Sandy Faulkner.
Bonnie Fritz.
Mrs. Barnhart.
Sandy Faulkner was one of my favorite teachers.
Alita Level.
One of my favorite teachers was Miss Pat. Of course, my mom, Mindy Layfield.
Don Kirkpatrick.
Kristen A. Cole.
Miss Pat.
Robert and Joanne Scruggs.
Miss Barrow.
Mr. and Mrs. Wagner that I had in the fourth grade.
Forrest Grubb.
Pat Kirk.
Jamie Ashley.
One that I remember the most is Mrs. Knutson.
Suzanne Barrow, definitely.
The person, though, that made the biggest impression on me was Don Abbott.
Miss Jenny has been a very nice teacher, and I will never forget her.
They were really involved, and you could tell they really cared. They taught us about missionaries. That's one thing I remember. They always had a board up in the room, and it had the world on it, and it had pinpoints of where missionaries were. And I guess we'd been taught about missionaries, but that's the first time they were actually brought to us. And we would have, like, collections to help them out, to send stuff to them, to send Bibles, to, you know, do different things like that.
She was a lot of fun. Like, she made sure everyone had an opinion about something. When, like, she told, like, a story, it felt like we were really there. And we weren't, like, just, like, hearing a planned story.
After every lesson, we would have a game.
Well, she always stood out because she would just teach us with, like, dolls and plays. And she would just show us so we would understand better.
She was frequent at hugging all the kids in her class. You look back on it, and she did all the things that allow for a safe and a warm atmosphere for kids to be able to grow together.
They made me want to go to Bible class, and they made it fun to learn about God.
They taught me that learning the Bible was fun and that it wasn't just for adults, that it was for kids too.
Well, I'll never forget, even in the fourth grade, Mr. and Mrs. Wagner they instilled in me from then the importance of prayer. And every time I came to class, they greeted me at the door with a hug and they'd let me know they'd been praying for me. And then also with my mom, it was so neat having her at Young Children's World teach me PE. And I got to have her at home and I got to watch her at school as well. And I would learn the same values and important character traits, I guess, watching her both at home and at school.
I think that the reason that she stands out in my mind as a great teacher is because she made me feel like I was important. She wasn't there because somebody asked her to be and she didn't know how to say no. She wasn't there teaching because she felt like she had to. She was there because she had something to share that was so important, and she wanted to make sure that we actually understood what it was that she had to share with us.
On Wednesday nights, Ms. Faulkner would, she had the little pennies, and then you could turn them in for candy. And she was just an excellent teacher, just what she did and everything and the way she taught. And Mrs. Ashley was the same way, with just very excellent, and there was a lot of charisma into the teaching, and you could tell, you know, that they weren't just telling you the story, that they believed it too, and it made you hook onto the story and believe it a lot more.
I think Mrs. Knutson really made us feel special. We learned a lot of Bible from her and from our other teachers and from our parents. But when we went to her class, she really made us feel like we were something really special.
He was very good at what he did. He teaches from a very intellectual standpoint, and he's very interesting to listen to.
You know, I do have a heart for missionaries, and you know, when I know there's a need, I try to do what I can, and it makes me want to be involved in my children's classes. I'm involved with my children and with their group and with their classes, and
you know, it's okay to have fun. And I try to have fun with them.
I know more about the Bible because Miss Faulkner. Like, when I get out of college, I think it'd be really fun to teach kids.
I want to teach little kids class because then we could teach them to love the Bible and to share and to love God.
I remember distinctly the VBS that she put me up on stage before the whole congregation and said, "You are going to lead. Lord, we come before thee now. At thy feet we humbly bow." And I actually led that song. And so she was probably the one that first encouraged me to a congregational participation of that kind of a leadership.
You learn to be excited about God and not just mellow about it. And that helps you, like, communicate with other people better because you're excited about it.
I hope one day that I can have the impact on a child as much as those teachers had an impact on me.
I remember that God really put it on my heart that it was time for me to make a serious commitment about my following him and about my life as a Christian. And I remember that she was the first person that I talked to about that. I waited until all the other children had left the classroom that morning, and I went to her and talked to her about that and told her that I thought I was ready to make that commitment. And she just cried. She was so excited and so proud of me. It was just so important to me for her to be the first person that I shared that with.
I would like to be youth minister, and so, I mean, I'd like to think that they helped me, push me along because they are just amazing teachers.
It made me feel special, and when I felt that way, it made the Word of God attractive to me.
It may have been just the timing because my dad was gone, and, you know, I didn't have anybody to talk to about that sort of stuff, and or about anything for that matter. With regard to, you know, guys growing up and all that. Although my mom and I could talk about anything, it was a little different having a male figure around. We started teaching when my oldest son was three. And we just kept staying with the program as our kids moved through. We were very fortunate to have a lot of really great people during those years that worked in the ministry. I remember at the very beginning when we had when my children were staying in the nursery with Darlene and Bonnie Fritz. I know people can tell when they take their children back there, their very young little children back there to leave with Jessica that they don't, you know, they're fine. They're not going to worry about it. In the background, sort of, in the coordinating side, we had some great support. We had Patty Crowley, Marcia McKenna, Pat King helped in there for so many years. She was great. When you go into a classroom or you walk past a classroom and you saw Sarah Smith there, you could be calm and know that everything was being done right and taken care of, and we had a lot of support and a lot of great teachers like that. People like my wife Billy and Suzanne Barrow and Mindy Layfield, they could also they came a little later, but they could also take a large group of kids, and I mean 50, 60 children, and they were able to keep them focused without a whole lot of props and could do it for a fairly long period of time. We changed over the years from a Bible facts, knowledge kind of based teaching to one of becoming acquainted with Jesus Christ and knowing that there's a God that can live in you and that you can have a relationship with and that you can know. We've always instilled the importance of praising God. But I think the shift to knowing Jesus is really, has been the most important thing.
50 years of really committed people doing some really awesome things. And you can look out now across the kingdom of God and there's a lot of missionaries. There's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of church leaders, there's a lot of godly people that grew up in this church, bearing fruit that was first planted in a child's classroom. So we have a lot to thank God for. I'm going to ask you to do two things, really, as you reflect on tonight, as you go home. First, think back of some of the people God put in your life to bless you when you were a child. If you had that blessing, it's something to be grateful for. Maybe they've gone on to be with the Lord now, but still, take a moment tonight and thank God for those people. And then realize, not all those people are your parents. God used some people to really bless you as a child, besides your parents. And that's why I say, all of us can still do ministry to children. All of us need to do ministry for children. Think about that Sunday when you show up. There's probably a kid somewhere who could use something you have to give. Well, let's sing Jesus Loves Me, and I'll dismiss us with prayer, and we'll go and we'll honor our teachers at the reception.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Father, dismiss us now with your care. We thank you for all the people that ever poured into our hearts. And we thank you for all the hearts that you are sending our way that we can pour ourselves into. We pray that we will always be a church that cherishes, that adores, that delights in, and disciples children. And we pray that you will bring many hundreds and thousands more here to meet Jesus. Bless us now in our time of fellowship and our trip home. In Jesus' name, amen.